speaker, Dr. Elizabeth Russo, who is a medical scientist at the Boston Public Health Commission, who will be talking to us about an evaluation of a program to reach low-income residents with subsidized membership to fitness facilities. Thank you.
So, good morning. I also have no disclosures. Obesity and its consequences, including diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, hypertension, and premature death, are leading health problems facing the United States and Boston. And in fact, the prevalence of obesity among adults in Boston has risen from 2001 to 2010, according to data collected in the Boston Behavior Risk Factor Survey. In 2010, 20% of Boston residents were obese with BMIs greater than or equal to 30. Obesity and health behaviors also differ by race and ethnicity in Boston. Data shown here from the 2010 Boston Behavior Risk Factor Survey show on the left that obesity rates are significantly higher among Black and Latino residents compared with white residents, and on the right that Black and Latino residents also engage in significantly less regular physical activity than do white residents in Boston. The Boston Public Health Commission, or BPHC, is the city's public health agency. It received funding in 2010 to embark on a host of obesity prevention program activities, and these activities were conceived with a health equity emphasis to reduce disparities in health outcomes between white and Black or Latino residents. Residents of color experience more health complications related to obesity than do white residents. And one discrete program developed with this funding was the Get Active Physical Activity Referral System, which used the Mayor's Health Line to improve access to physical activity opportunities for over 2,000 low-income residents by enrolling community health center patients. So it was using the Mayor's Health Line, which was a pre-existing BPHC program. It had been around for about 25 years, offering information and assistance to callers in need of food, housing, childcare, job training, and free or low-cost health insurance. And this telephone line is staffed by multilingual counselors Monday through Friday. And it became the backbone of the Get Active referral system when it was used as the connector between patients and fitness facilities. So this diagram describes the program flow once enrollment was open in January 2011. Patients who might benefit from obesity risk factor modification presented to the community health centers and were given a referral by their provider to call the Mayor's Health Line, which was staffed by a wellness manager. This wellness manager engaged in motivational interviewing techniques to help match each caller with a fitness facility according to his or her needs and interests. And he also offered freely to all callers and subsidized gym memberships. So he offered information to all callers, regardless of their income level, and he offered subsidized gym memberships for those who were eligible. At the community health centers, materials such as these posters and palm cards were distributed to health center staff to help explain how the program worked, and they were used by providers to facilitate referrals. Of note, the discounts that are mentioned on this poster were paid for out of grant funding. The majority of the memberships were paid for out of the grant funding, but each client paid some kind of nominal fee. It depended on which fitness facility they joined, but I think it was $5 or even $0, depending on which fitness facility it was. The wellness manager at the Mayor's Health Line helped callers find facilities matching their needs based on where they lived, where they worked, so proximity was one factor, or whether they wanted swimming pools or scheduled grouped classes. The wellness manager also determined eligibility, which I just mentioned, for the subsidies. Eligibility was defined as any adult residing in a Boston zip code who received a referral from a community health center, as opposed to a word-of-mouth referral, and received any form of public assistance or having income at or below 400% of the federal poverty line. Children could be included in this if their parent received a family membership that then covered them as well for the same price point. And that was true for, again, for some of the fitness facilities that partnered with this program. The fitness facilities that partnered with the Get Active program agreed to share gym utilization data with the wellness manager. A variety of fitness facilities participated in the Get Active program, including the Y of Greater Boston, nonprofit health clubs, community centers, which had exercise facilities in them, for-profit fitness centers like Curves, and small local community-based fitness facilities. The goal of the Get Active program was to increase the affordability of gym memberships for low-income individuals, which would lead to increased physical activity levels, which would in turn lead to a greater proportion of individuals achieving the CDC recommended guidelines of 150 minutes of physical activity per week, at least the 2008 guidelines. We'll see what they are in 2018. Our primary evaluation questions were twofold. Who did the program reach? Were the participants, in fact, low-income Black and Latino residents? And was there a change in the physical activity among these program participants? In order to answer these questions, we embedded data collection into the enrollment process. When the callers were screened for their eligibility, they were also asked a series of questions about their demographic characteristics and baseline participation in physical activity, really using the BRFSS style questions. Eligible callers were given 3 months of a subsidized gym membership, and these new members were asked to call the referral line to request a renewal after the initial 3 months had lapsed. At that time, they were again asked about their engagement in physical activity. In practice, some memberships were allowed to automatically continue without the wellness manager's intervention, and sometimes interested participants forgot to call for a renewal. So midway through the year, a decision was made that program staff would initiate proactively calls to clients to request follow-up data from those who had not called themselves. And then given funding constraints, program staff looked at utilization records and canceled over 400 memberships for people who had not been going to the gym had not been going at least four times in over a 2 month period. And then those funds were reallocated to new members, new participants. From January 2011 to March 2012, so over a year, 277 health professionals at 20 community health centers referred patients to 24 fitness facilities. This is a diagram to help explain how many people were enrolled in the Get Active program. Over 2,000 memberships were approved, and 64% of these were activated, meaning that the person actually at least took their approved membership and showed up to the fitness facility at least one time. And this included membership for 3,700 individuals once you account for the family memberships to the Y. 250 people were contacted to understand the main reasons approved callers did not activate their memberships, and the most common reasons were not having enough time, issues in their families, illness, and surgery. These 1,300 participants were predominantly female, and 88% were overweight or obese based on their self-reported BMI information. This is the distribution of race and ethnicity among the 1,300 callers for whom we have demographic information. 37% were Black and 45% were Latino. This is the age distribution of the Get Active callers, and as you can see, most were adults aged 35 to 54. So of the 1,200 callers for whom we were able to calculate minutes of physical activity engaged in, 18% reported more than 150 minutes per week, which again is the CDC recommended guideline. And the mean number of minutes was 72, the median was zero. So for the sake of comparison, this slide shows the proportion of adults in Boston who met the guidelines of at least 150 minutes of physical activity in a week. And ranging from 53 to 60%, there was no significant change over time. 20% of the Get Active callers remained in the program 3 months or more in order to provide the follow-up physical activity data. And some of this data was provided by the participants calling the wellness manager to request the renewal. Some of it was collected by the program staff who made that one-time outreach for those who did not call in themselves. And the difference in the demographic characteristics between these two populations is shown in the next slide. There were no differences between the two groups according to age distribution, BMI, or median baseline physical activity minutes, but there were those with both base, sorry, so that this column on the right is those who had both baseline and follow-up data, and these individuals were more likely to be female and more likely to be Black, less likely to be Latino, and they had slightly higher mean physical activity minutes at baseline. So taken as a whole, I'm interpreting these two populations to be overall similar, even though I've just shown you some differences. We examined the physical activity reported by the 254 Get Active participants for whom we had both baseline and follow-up activity, and this was our one of our primary outcomes of interest. So this figure is showing the number of minutes of physical activity per week engaged in among the callers for whom we had data, again at baseline and follow-up, and the columns show the median and mean number of minutes reported by the callers at baseline and then follow-up as you look left to right. So the median number of minutes changed from 0 to 240 at follow-up. The mean number changed from 72 to 266 at follow-up. This was statistically significantly different. Sorry. And this slide shows the proportion of participants engaging in the recommended guideline of at least 150 minutes. Of the 254, for whom, again, we have baseline and follow-up data, 19% met the guidelines at baseline, where significantly more, 75%, met the guideline at follow-up, which could have been anywhere from 3 to 12 months after enrollment for that individual. Of the five fitness facilities for whom I was able to track gym utilization, participants made 2 to 12 visits per month on average, and the number of visits ranged from 0 to 47 per month. And yes, 47 times is very high. We surveyed 34 community health center providers using a web-based questionnaire. Most were MDs or osteopathic doctors, but nurses, nutritionists, social workers were also participating in this survey. And most respondents thought that physical activity resources in the community were limited and that the program, the Get Active program, increased the frequency of their discussions with patients about obesity risk factor modification, and it made them more likely to talk about physical activity, and that they most valued the subsidies as a program component. The evaluation that I've just described is limited, obviously, by the self-selection of the participants who called the referral line in the first place. They might have been more highly motivated. And then even more so, that I'm describing people who persisted in the program long enough to provide follow-up data. We also note that relying on the participants to initiate the renewal process and provide us with that follow-up data had significant programmatic shortcomings. And furthermore, it would have been helpful if we'd been able to create some kind of feedback loop with the community health center providers or had more resources to do more continuous or repeated reaching out to the participants to obtain more frequent follow-up information. Or even if we'd been able to collect longer-term data to understand how these behaviors persist over time or whether they're linked to changes in BMI. However, we conclude that the community health center embedded nature of this program made it successful in reaching the population we were interested in targeting, and that these data suggest that decreasing cost as a barrier to getting physical activity seems to be associated with increasing physical activity. Although there was loss to follow-up, still one out of five participants were retained in the program and they achieved significantly more physical activity over time. And because of these findings, we're interested in supporting further research or understanding more studies about the price sensitivity of physical activity behavior change and how much the role the clinical provider plays in discussing physical activity with patients in bringing about meaningful influence in promoting physical activity. So we acknowledge our program and community partners and funding from CDC. I'm done. I can take questions, I think. I have a point of time. Thank you. So this is actually regardless of their utilization. This is them answering the same questions after time has passed. So I mean, that activity could have been they decided to go running. I mean, yeah. I mean, it really could have been. It could have been low utilizers were still engaging in more physical activity.
Can you explain why you picked a fitness center to study?
Why it was picked?
Yeah, because you know, many other studies, they focus on built environment, schooling kids, but this study.
You mean why? Like, well, I mean, first of all, you couldn't subsidize a membership to a park, so that I mean, that's one reason. But I think this was done in the thought process was really trying to I mean, we were already, there was a lot of movement around price sensitivity around sugar-sweetened beverages and tobacco products, so I think part of it was examining, well, let's see if, like, we can increase access by lowering costs to something that's a desired commodity. Right.
So I believe even though there are not many data showing if people go to the gym, how many of them really meet the guideline? I was trying to find those data, but I guess we don't have really good data. And the problem going to the gym is the dropout rate is really high. So you know, I think you thought of that when you designed the study, planning the study.
So another no silver bullet issue. No one thing will solve the problem. But thanks. John.
Did you notice any differences? Like, were people more likely to have the physical activity increases at the community center versus at the fitness club? Like, was it more, you know?
You know, I.
That was the professional place?
Yeah, that's such a great idea. I don't know that I actually. Examined it that way, but I will say that the vast majority were using the Y. So I know that our power to delineate beneath that level will probably be hampered with numbers, but that's really interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.